don't often think of professional athletes improving with age, but Jamie Moyer was a better pitcher in his 40s than he was in his 20s. Moyer became the oldest pitcher to win a Major League Baseball game in April 2012. Moyer's story isn't just the tale of a talented guy who hung on to his game a little longer than others. He managed, he says, to gain control of the mental side of his sport, and he did it with the help of a self-taught sports psychologist named Harvey Dorfman. Moyer pitched for 8 teams, but his best years were with the Seattle Mariners, where he became an all-star, and the Philadelphia Phillies, where he was a starter in a World Series run. Moyer chronicles his journey in the new book, Just Tell Me I Can't, How Jamie Moyer Defied the Radar Gun and Defeated Time. It is a great pleasure to welcome Jamie Moyer to the Roundtable.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you here. Have you enjoyed this process of talking about the book and talking about your accomplishments?
Well, I enjoy more talking about the book rather than my accomplishments. I'm not a self-promoter, but I enjoyed writing the book. You know, it's fun to go out and share with people and meet people.
But your story is an interesting one. You are the oldest pitcher to ever win a major league game, and you have this incredible relationship with a sports psychologist who had this profound impact on you, and you are able to do something that nobody else has been able to do, which above, we can throw out a lot of different words, but that's pretty cool.
It's taken a lot of work and a lot of dedication on my behalf, but you know, that's if you want to be successful in life in anything, that's usually what it takes. You know, I feel like I have a lot of passion for the game of baseball, and I love the game of baseball. But you know, I did have the great fortune of spending time with Harvey Dorfman, who gave me a lot of knowledge about the mental side of the game, and then it was up to me to work on bettering myself and how I approach the game from the mental side. And I think that's one of the big things that really helped me throughout my career, especially being a professional athlete, because I've come to realize as a professional athlete, most people have the ability and the talent, the physical side, but it's the mental side, I think, that separates a lot of players from, you know, just being good players or greatness.
What, in your opinion, are the important ingredients in that mental side?
Well, I mean, first of all, you got to kind of know who you are. And, you know, I don't know if you ever really find out exactly who you are. I think that continually evolves as you grow and you mature. But you got to start to understand things that motivate you, things that don't motivate you, and really why you're doing it. And, you know, for me, you know, the why was because I had passion for the game. I loved the game. And really wasn't overly concerned about the money aspect of it. I came to realize early in my career that if you go out and do your job, the money takes care of itself. And that's really not why I was playing. You know, I grew up loving the game and, like I said, had a huge passion for the game. Just enjoyed it and then learned a lot of life lessons through the game of baseball, met a lot of great people, and traveled to many great places that I probably would have never traveled to, not having the opportunity to play professional baseball.
At what point did you know you wanted this to be your life, to be your career?
I can remember as a young kid, like many young kids who aspire, you know, that are athletes, you know, they want to become a professional athlete. And I can remember people asking me, that, you know, even in my youthful years, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And, you know, my response was, I want to be a Major League Baseball player. And it was something I was quite adamant about. I believed that it was going to happen. Saying it and believing it are one thing, and actually going out and doing it is the most important thing. And doing it with, you know, the right mindset and the right approach, and you know, those are things that I learned as I grew older.
You started pitching in the majors in 1986. How would you rate yourself, if you will, as a pitcher going in?
Well, I thought, you know, up until that point in my life and my career, you know, I never really struggled a great deal. Upon getting to the major leagues, you know, I was quite inconsistent. I walked a lot of people and probably really didn't know that I belonged at the major league level. You know, if you would have asked me back in 1986, of course I would have said yes. But if you would have asked me in 2006, I would have given you a completely different answer than I would have in 1986, just because of experience, maturity, and confidence.
As you get into the league, what is great about your story is 20s, 30s, 40s, you're getting better and better. And there's what you want to do, and then there is actually being able to do it. And I guess, as you explain this in the book, I'm curious as to how conscious all of that is. Are you always setting a bar to try to beat that?
Well, I think I'm really, the bar that I'm trying to set is to focus on the task at hand. I came to realize as a baseball player, you're so reliant on so many other people, and they can affect your success or your failures. And, especially from the pitching standpoint, I came to realize as I went through my career that the only thing that I had control of was me and myself and what I did in that little circle in the middle of the field. And that was, being consistent with my mechanics and having confidence and like I said earlier, following the task at hand, and that's, putting my focus into the pitch that I'm making currently, not the previous pitch and not the next pitch or two pitches down the road, because I may not get there. Because after I release the ball, I almost become a fan, because the only other two jobs I have are to cover first base or to back up any bases, or for an errant throw. So learning that probably, or coming to that realization in my mid-30s, I think kind of allowed me to kind of refocus on some things and redirect my actions in more positive ways and in better directions. And it allowed me to become the full pitcher that I've always expected to be.
How do you look at being a part of the Phillies World Champion season in 2008?
How do I look at it? Well, it was an unbelievable experience. It's something that I'll never forget, something that I've always played for. I waited a long time for that to happen. And, there's a lot of players that unfortunately never get that opportunity to be on a World Series team, number one, or to be on a World Series champion. So, I really try to appreciate where I was, what it took to get there, and also appreciate my teammates and my coaches and the fans. And we lived it all together. That 2008 season was a magical season, for the Philadelphia Phillies as a team, as an organization, and for the fan base. And I have a lot, like I said, a lot of fond memories of my teammates and the efforts that they gave and the sacrifices that we all gave to accomplish that. And, that's one thing you can never take away from us as a team. And I think that's something that will always bond us forever.
When you think of that experience, it seems as though it's obviously, as you say, it's something that you always work for. But again, just as being a fan of the game, to be a part of something like that has to be extraordinary.
It is. It is. And for me, it was a little different because I grew up in the Philadelphia area.
Right. You remember 1980.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was at that parade and, grew up watching the Phillies. To be able to do something like that where I grew up was even more exciting. I was able to share that with my parents and my sister, as well as my wife and our children, and the fans. And really, that's when you look back at it all, that's what it's really about. It's the sharing, and there are certain occasions when I do wear my ring, and I like to wear it where I know people will appreciate it, and I love to take it off, and I love people to hold it in their hand or put it on their finger or take a picture with it, because to me that's what it's about. It's reliving those memories, and then there's positive memories, people, believe it or not, people's lives revolved around that season, not just the players, the fans. And you don't know how many times I hear stories of people saying, we ate dinner around the Phillies game, or, I stopped what I was doing to watch the Phillies game, or, I brought my nephew and my niece to a game. Or my son and I went to a game. You know, there's so many ways that people relate to that, and I think that's really, really special.
When you think about the future, I mean, you make a point in the book of saying that you have not officially retired. So how do you look at it now?
You know, I take it a day at a time. I enjoy my life. Do I have any anticipation on playing? No. You know, I just don't see any sense in making a big to-do about retirement. You know, I came into the game. I don't think anybody knew who I was when I came into the game, when I signed in 1984. And for respect to the game, I just feel like, you know what, when it's time to go, it's time to go, and I don't really believe that I need a big to-do upon leaving the game. Because, you know what, the game of baseball is way bigger than Jamie Moyer, and I realize that and respect that. And, you know, I've been a very, very minuscule part of the history of the game of baseball, and I feel very blessed and honored to have had that opportunity, and I will always respect that.
And yet, do you get calls? I mean, are people interested in what you have to offer, either as a player or as a coach or just as a form of guidance?
You know, I really haven't yet. This is my first year out of the game. What I am attempting to do is I'm going to try to start a pitching academy. I live out here in California. And my feeling, one way that I would like to be able to give back is to work with, you know, minor league guys, big league guys, college guys, high school guys, and work on a lot of what we wrote about in the book, the mental side of the game, because I feel like it's so, so important. And not only is the mental side important, but so is the health side of it. And that's, you know, taking care of your arm. And that's doing exercises for your arm, you know, maintaining the strength over the course of a season. It's a long, grueling season each season. But if you, you know, have the good fortune to play it for many years, it really breaks your body down. So taking care of your body, again, for me, is really important as well, because if you're not healthy, you can't perform. And if you can't perform, you'll never find out what your full potential is. So learning and understanding all the different parts that go into it, I think, are very important. And if I can share that and give that back to younger players, then it becomes, you know, the decision is theirs on how they want their career or their fate to be, to, you know, to happen.
And you're still taking care of that arm?
In what respect?
Meaning, once you do it, do you always do it? I mean, you always think about it.
You know, I as far as taking care of my arm, I work out a little bit, but beyond that, you know, I'm dad, which I've always been, and it's great to be home with my kids and share in their lives. I have our oldest son is in professional baseball himself in the Dodgers organization.
Right.
I have another guy that's at Pepperdine University as a sophomore playing baseball, and then I have another daughter who's in college as a basketball player, and another daughter who's an aspiring soccer player, Division I soccer player. So, you know, it's exciting to watch the older kids, and then we have four younger kids that are, we have two fourth graders and two first graders. So being home is special for me, because I haven't been able to be home for, this is the first summer since I was 8 years old where I've been home with my family.
The name of the book is Just Tell Me I Can't, How Jamie Moyer Defied the Radar Gun and Defeated Time. Jamie Moyer and Larry Platt are the authors. Jamie Moyer, thank you very much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time, Joe.
Again, the title of the book, Just Tell Me I Can't. The book is published by Grand Central. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.